Welcome to the Kingdom Life podcast, where we equip ourselves with godly wisdom so that we can go into the world as kings and priests, manifesting all that the kingdom of God is.
Opening this church was one of the biggest decisions that I had to make in my life because I knew the responsibility that I was taking. And, you know, I knew that no man putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. I knew that once I do this, there is no turning back. And it was a very, very frightening decision because you have to care for people, you got to do the funerals, and man, it wasn't an easy decision. I remember about 4 months before we could open the church, there was one day I was in a turmoil and I couldn't get up to go to work because of a decision that I had to make. And eventually that day I made the decision, and the first person that I recruited was Devi, and obviously Clinton and Nolan had to come along. And I spoke to the pastor, gave him 3 months' notice that I will be leaving and I'm gonna open another church. And I promised him one thing is that I will never canvass. I will never ask anybody in that church to join me, including my family. The only people that I knew that would be coming was John and his family, because by then they had left the church that I was in. They were in another church, and I phoned John and I said, I'm going on my own. And John said, okay, I'll be seeing you there. He's the only one that told me. Now, lots of people said to me, tell me where and when and I'll be there. Only John showed up. So yeah, I wanna, you know, it's been a long journey, and I wanna thank God for his faithfulness, because God has been faithful to me when I made that decision. And so I want to thank all the people that actually, I think Debbie's biggest fear was, what if we go there, nobody turns up? So I knew John, Vigi, and Michelle, Marlene, Eddie, and Michaela will be there. Megan, you came much, much later. You understand that, right? When I got to Rockford School, the biggest gift that I saw was Lou standing with a guitar at the gate. I knew we had singers, Marlene and Michelle, but we didn't have any guitarists, and Lou was there, and obviously Ishara, and she's late, and my mother came. My father joined much, much later, like 3 months down the line. He was waited to see the scenes, and then he came. And then I was very happy to see Johnny, Mali, Carl, Vani. Carl and Vani were the first one to get married in the church. Julian, Anita, Charles, Ziona, and Mervyn. Asturi was there in the first few weeks, and Junie was there. Junie Jr. came much, much later. Toy came very later. Ravi, Shirley, Lilu was there, and their children, Rowan and Rodane was there. Yeah, Rodane was born by then. Yeah, Rodane and Chanel. Ravi Mamsi, Chris was there. And so during the journey, lots of other people opt off the bus, and some people joined late. And so firstly, I want to thank all those that, you know, believed in the vision, came and joined, and those of you that jumped onto the bus much later. There's still a long journey to go, and I'm happy that you are on the bus. And so let me share with you a couple of thoughts. I want to read to you from the book of Proverbs 29:18, and it says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that scripture does not say where there is no testimony, the people perish. It says where there is no vision. See, I can stand here and I can tell you all the wonderful things that we achieved as a little community of people over 23 years, but that is no proof that we got a future. Vision has to do with a future. It's not about your past accomplishments. A testimony makes you a witness, you know, that God, a witness that what God has done for you. But it is no proof that you've got a future in Christ. And so what the scripture says is that where there's no vision, where there is no future, where there is no hope, and you require a lot of faith to make that hope work, because faith gives substance to hope. And it says where there is no vision, that's where people go backwards. People don't progress. And, you know, if you ask people that invest on the stock exchange, one of the things that they will tell you is that if you go onto the stock exchange and if you think that you want to buy shares in a company that has an absolutely wonderful track record of historical past earnings, and you think that's the company I should buy shares in, you will learn that you will be in trouble. Because past performance is no guarantee of future achievements. When people go and invest on the stock exchange, what they look at is, does the company have a future? Can they make it into the future? And that's the reason why companies hire CEOs and pay them large sums of money. Why? Because CEOs know how to cast a vision, craft a strategy, and pull that organization into the future. And that's why they get paid so much, sitting in the office, but they get paid for their thinking, their imagination. People that invest in the stock exchange would tell you that the stock exchange is like, it's not only about finding the os that can win, because that's the company. It's also looking at who's riding the horse, the jockey, because it's the leadership of the company, the CEO. He's the guy that can, even if he's riding a donkey, he can turn things around and win the race. And so, I mean, that's how the world understands, you know, the future. It's not about past performance. It's about understanding, do we have a future, and how to get into that future. And you don't look at you learn from your past, you learn from your mistakes, and you learn a whole lot of things, but you look at your future. And one of the ways that companies understand where they want to go into the future is they look at their environment. They understand what is the external environment is doing and how to navigate through that environment to become successful. And there is a spiritual concept in that thing, and that concept is what the Bible says, that when you pray, you just don't pray, you watch and pray. You become observant. And then you pray, you become observant of the surroundings, and you pray accordingly. And we know that from Scripture that the future is not bright, it's bleak. You know, right there in the book of Isaiah chapter 60, prophetically it was declared that darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. The people are going to become wicked and going to become dull in their thinking, and the earth is going to be covered with darkness. And you know what? Not so long ago, we had a foretaste of that, COVID-19. You know, we had a foretaste of what the future is going to look like. We saw the KZN floods, you know, how damaging that was, you know, just... and environmentally. And so the future is very, very bleak. And so in the midst of this darkness that we're going through, how do we then start to craft a strategy, a spiritual plan? And with that strategy, where we can put that slide up, Trev, and with that strategy, the first one, and with that strategy, how can we create a future that we can be proud of. And this is what I want to propose to you. That individually and as a group of people, we become in the hand of God what I would think of as a discus. You know, a discus? A sportsman would take that and he would hold it and it's well balanced and he will swing and swing and swing, and then he will propel that as far as it goes, because the further it goes, it becomes a winner. And so I want to propose to you that if we will have to navigate through this very, very stormy waters, then there's three things that this.
Thank you for joining us as we equipped, prepared, and edified ourselves for the week ahead. As you go into the world, may the Lord bless you, protect you, look on you with favor, and keep you. Until next time, God bless.